It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill.
There's that chant. We have not heard it too much this year here at Chase. That Warriors chant echoing through Chase Center. Schroeder with the ball at the logo. Guarded by Gilgeous Alexander. Goes by him. Hand off Payton. Goes up. Oh! He dunked it on Hartenstein. Little elevation sensation for GP2. And the Warriors lead 114 to 105.
I can't wait to take your phone calls this morning. 888-957-9570 is the number. GP2. Gary Payton II with a season high in points. Tying a season high in rebounds. He had 15-9 in 24 minutes and 58 seconds. How about Kevon Looney off the bench? 18 points, tied a career high. Andrew Wiggins, he's been balling, especially in the month of January. 19-5 in the month of January. 27 big ones yesterday. And who would have thunk it? Playing the best team in the NBA. The youngest team in the NBA, with all those thoroughbreds and athletes and SGA dropping 52 on you, the Warriors outscored Oklahoma City in the second half, 68-51, and we're going to start right there with the Golden State Warriors. We're going to talk to George Sedano about them at 8:30. Daniel Lorry, the mayor of San Francisco, he'll join us at 9:30, kind of give us the lay of the land before All-Star weekend in a couple weeks. But Shasky, last night, as we say, good morning to all the overnight dancers, all the graveyard shift workers, all the truck drivers, all the firefighters, all the cops. Dub Nation, how about that win last night? How about that win?
Was that the best win of the year?
It's one of them. It's one of them.
I thought that might have been one of the most comprehensive games the whole team has played. Like, not a Steph Curry drag us across the finish line, although he was excellent in the second half. Wiggins was outstanding. Maybe the best game of the year for him. I thought GP2 was excellent. I thought Kevon Looney was amazing. Even Buddy Hield hit a three that kind of got things going early on, made a couple of nice passes. It felt like a very team wide win. Pajemski hitting big shots, making nice plays. It was a who's who.
Well, you know, Andrew Wiggins had a really solid season. And the reason why we're scoffing at his average, we'll get to it later, but I want to start here. You know, you brought up something yesterday about cleaning. We want something to cleave on to in terms of fandom and players. We want to love again, right? We want to cleave on to somebody. And driving home last night, I thought to myself, boy, why are we not clinging on to the guys with the championship heart, the championship mindset? And I start with Kevon Looney and GP2. Now, I know what GP2 is. Some nights he's going to have it. Some nights he's not. But championship heart, 5-5 from the free throw line last night. And then Kevon Looney. You know, we talked to him on the postgame show last night. And we watch him warm up every single game, and he's hitting jumpers, and he can do so much more. And he sacrificed for the betterment of the team. But I think about Kevon Looney, a game like that where it's physical, bodies are flying around. He comes up with four block shots and 18 points. We've traded him. We've DMP'd him. We've started him. He's come off the bench. He's been the odd man out. He's been the odd man in. But championship heart. And that's something I cling on to, Shasky. All through the years. And I was a sucker for those Giants teams. Ryan Vogelsong and Travis Ishikawa. And you know, some of those guys, Juan Uribe. Edgar Renteria, Marco, you go down the list. Championship heart. I think as fans, we want to change so much, and we want something different, and we want to get excited about something. And, you know, part of the reason why people want to trade for Levine and Vuk is because they want to see something different. They want to see something new because they think it's going to excite them. But how come we don't cling on to our champions around here a lot better than we should be? You know, we should be clinging on to these guys, especially a guy like Kevon Looney, who's the ultimate warrior. And if he does get traded, a championship contender should be all over that. Because he knows where to be in the right spot at the right time, and he's not going to get rattled in the biggest moments of a basketball game, whether it's the playoffs, the NBA Finals, or Game 58 in the regular season. But championship heart is something I cling on to. And I thought driving home last night, damn, time in and time out, Kevon Looney shows his championship grit. Championship spirit. He doesn't have it every night. There's some nights he just doesn't have it athletically. He may not get up and down the floor and Steve Curry yank his ass and play him 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes, maybe just a straight up DMP. boy, when he has to dust them off in the biggest moments of a season, in the biggest moments of a game, time in and time out, Kevon Looney shows his championship grit and championship heart. That's something, Shasky, that I keep clinging on to when it comes to Loon Dog.
Oh, it's really well said. I think a lot of people, if you just asked Warrior fans, if you went around that Chase Center, I mean, does anyone have a negative thing to say about him?
No.
No, but I think this is more a byproduct of the league that's, you know, Adam Silver set up. Like, everybody's got to be slotted together so we can get these Jenga pieces and these puzzle pieces together to make trades. And so the whole league is set up to where you have to cling this guy to that guy to this guy to this guy. And it's trade machine era. I mean, look at the big stories in the NBA. De'Aaron Fox wants out. Jimmy Butler wants out. Zach LaVine, it might get dealt. Like, none of it is about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dropping 50. Like, if you just go to the headlines of ESPN.com, NBA.com, like, it's going to be all of the chatter about transactions. And so I think it is more a indication of the league as a whole.
But just as players, but just, this is our fan base, and these are our players, and we know who's getting in and out of the lineup with the Golden State Warriors. We talk about them ad nauseum. And it's just too many times where our championship players were so quick, and I get it, he's got an expiry contract. I'm just taking Looney, for example.
Yeah.
But those are the type of players I would think that fans would always cling on to and love no matter what. And, you know, when you talk about loving somebody, I don't know if you make a trade and all of a sudden we're going to start loving Zach LaVine or Nikola Vukovic or Vucevic or whoever it is. You know what I'm saying? We love Dennis Schroeder, and all of a sudden 2 weeks later we're saying get him off our team. Buddy Hield can't catch a break around here. And everybody can't stand Buddy Hield right now. But when he was lighting it up in the first couple weeks of the season, boy, we're all Buddy Hield fans. We're ready to get Buddy Bucket jerseys. But Kevon Looney is his trusted agent who's been here for a decade.
Yeah, but I think everyone's going to love that person, you know, in perpetuity. You know, I look at someone like a Donald Foyle, you know, and I think Kevon probably more resembles someone like a Donald Foyle than anyone else. But he has the championship medal where it's like, I see a Donald Foyle and I'm like, oh yeah, he's a forever warrior. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I view him. And he's one of those guys.
Do you view Looney like that?
Why wouldn't you?
All right, I'm just asking. I'm curious.
I mean, why
I would.
You?
I would. I just don't know. I just don't know because of the.
I think right, 99% of people are like, dude, Kevon Looney's a great player. Right. But I also, like, a great player in the sense of, I want him on my team. Right. I think what ends up happening, and this goes back to, like, you talking about the Giants, when a Mike Yastrzemski's batting the 3, 4, or 5 hole, like, you're miscasting that guy. And I think, unfortunately, Kevon has been a byproduct of the rest of the roster being hollowed out. He's been elevated to a role that, to your point of, some nights he just doesn't have it, and it's unfair, and people are angry, and they take it out on him. In an ideal world, he's a perfect backup center.
Absolutely.
But on this team, he oscillates from starter to heavy minutes guy to backup center to DNP guy. And they're searching. Last night, Quinton Post played, what, five minutes? I don't even know. What did he play?
He played 8 minutes. Okay, he started the game yesterday, and he basically came out with a clean sheet.
He had a couple of turnovers.
0 points, 2 turnovers, 3 fouls. Okay. Not 1 rebound. He didn't even attempt the field goal.
Well,
so he's on a scouting report now.
Well, I mean, this is what they did last night. They were like, Hardenstein, you go over there. You guard somebody over there, and we're going to put a guard on him because we know he wants to pick and pop, and this is where the adjustment for the young man comes in. Dog, get on the block. Like, use the size mismatch advantage when a Jalen Williams is guarding you. Get down on that block, back him down. But he doesn't have a great back-to-the-basket game right now. I mean, the best player on the team for back-to-the-basket, I can't believe I'm saying this, it's Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson was awesome yesterday.
It's okay.
But it was a great – no, he had a good game yesterday.
Solid. 1 of 4 yesterday, 3 rebounds.
He had a couple big shots.
He hit the one big shot. He only scored 2 points last night. It was the fadeaway jumper. It was a fadeaway jumper that he had because he had to throw it up.
I thought he got fouled and went to the lane a couple times.
Yeah, there are 2 points. I'm looking at the
statue. Oh, wow. I thought he hit free throws.
No, he didn't even go to the free throw line yesterday. Kyle Anderson, he was 1 of 4 from the floor, 0 of 0 from the free throw line. He had the one basket. It looks Slowbo's trying out there. I don't think it's the best fit for Slowbo. I don't think it's the best fit for the Golden State Warriors, but he provided some moments that you got to leak deeper into the box score. The box score is not going to tell the story on his performance yesterday. Thought he dribbled the ball well. Thought he played defense well. He's long and athletic. The same with Dennis Schroeder last night. Dennis Schroeder, 9 points and 7 assists off the bench, but I thought he was able to control tempo and really get tenacious on the defensive end. I thought he scrapped last night, especially in that third quarter. And the run started really, I know the Thunder were up 13 in the second quarter, but the Warriors had cut it to 2, cut it to 4.
Closed.
And they were starting to close in that second quarter. And then OKC kind of goes on a run. And Wiggins 3 before the halftime buzzer. That's another guy that I want to get to because I know he's been a topic of discussion around here about maybe that's the guy you dangle. Maybe that's the guy you trade. You know me, Shasky. I'm really hesitant on trading good players like that. In today's modern NBA, where would you be without Andrew Wiggins? Now, we talk about his 17, 18 points a game. It's not enough on this team because we expect Steph Curry to score 26, 27 a game. But that's not happening because of the injuries. No. And Steph is down to 22, 23. So all of a sudden, you need more from Andrew Wiggins. But ideally, on any given season, if Curry's Curry and he's the prime Curry name we grew up to love, man, these 17, 18 points a game, we're taking that to the bank. But you need a little more for Wiggs. And last night, I think he got a little more with a season high tying 5 made threes, 27 points. He played 38 minutes and 21 seconds in the back end of a back-to-back.
He was awesome.
This guy's playing his ass off for the Warriors this season.
I thought last night, in terms of offensive aggression, was his best game of the year. It's so easy to be that aggressive every night. But, like, this is what the team needs. I mean, he hit early on. He hit a little, like, funky off-foot left-handed layup in traffic. It's like, wow, where's that been? Hit the dagger three late in the game. But to me, it was the consistent aggression to go to the rim and go strong. The last couple of weeks, I felt like when he takes it to the rack, you know, a strong gust of wind has knocked him over. In this one, no, he looked a lot stronger. Now, he's got the big tape thing on his shoulder, so clearly something's going on up top, right? But I thought his shot looked really pure yesterday. It really did. And they didn't really have an answer for him. If they're going to play Lu Dort and just try to hack a crap out of Steph Curry, well, then that opens it up for him to take advantage against some of the smaller defenders.
Yeah, no doubt.
If Wallace or Joe gets matched up on him, you got to attack those guys. Their roster, OKC, is just nice.
Well, they're stacked. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a rookie when the Warriors beat the Clippers in the first round in 2019. He was a rookie on that team. And the Clippers traded SGA and Danilo Gallinari and five future first-round picks for the services of Paul George. And I think it's safe to say the Paul George Kawhi era didn't work out well for the LA Clippers.
No.
Won West Finals, couple duds in the first round, and now he's in Philadelphia. Now, they did beat Sacramento last night, but Paul George didn't play. SGA, 52 points last night. He outscored the Warriors in the first quarter alone, 21-20.
What do you have, 30-something at half?
Yeah, 31 at the half.
He's ridiculous.
He puts the ball. He's shooting a little more. He's shooting a little more from the three-point line this year. Last year, he shot about 3.5 threes a game. This year, he's up to 5.5 threes per game. So he's hoisting it. I think that's due to Chet Holmgren only playing 10 games.
Yeah.
But he gets to the free throw line at will. And sometimes he gets a very beneficial whistle.
Well,
there's
one where I think it was Pods came flying by him. I didn't think Pods touched him.
Yeah, but he goes 18-21. And I think him going crazy the way he did, his other teammates couldn't get into rhythm.
I would agree.
And you look at Jalen Williams, who's a very fine player from Santa Clara. He's so fast, so athletic. He's a monster. I think he's an all-star this season, but he scores his 26. But outside of that, the rest of the starters score 10. And then you only get 21 bitch points. Yeah, no doubt. So you get Hartenstein, Wallace, Dort, a combined 10 points.
If you told me Isaiah Joe shoots 100% against the Warriors, I know he missed a three late,
right,
but I still don't believe it. If you told me he shoots 100% against the Warriors, I would believe it.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's so pure.
He's so pure, so quick.
Even
17
the Wallace
off the bench.
Guy's a good player.
No, Wallace, they got a good squad.
Like, now, where did he come from?
I think OKC, from just watching them last night, the Warriors won a season series 2 out of 3.
Which is crazy.
So, which is crazy. You know, you see some people online. I'm listening to Evan on the Pulse Game show.
What's he saying?
Some people believe that, not Evan, but some people believe, hey, man, if the Warriors get to a playoff series against the Thunder, you never know. So, that's what a win can do for the fan base.
One thing that I noticed is with Shai's an awesome player, but this is a deficiency for the Warriors currently. When you don't have a two guard that forces the other two guard to play defense, all his energy is ready to roll on offense. And you could see it, like, he really wasn't worried. He got matched up a couple times on Steph, a couple of times early in the game on Quentin Post. But for the most part, you know, he's able to relax on defense. Simultaneously, they're trying to hunt Steph, right? And you can see that wears on you, which goes back to the Wiggins thing. You know, Wiggins takes on that top assignment night after night after night. And so not only do the Warriors need a two guard to take some of that perimeter defensive pressure off of Andrew Wiggins, they just need somebody who can strain the top dog on the other team defensively as well.
Well, you know what? When Kuminga comes back, I'd be very intrigued to see if Steve Kerr goes Steph, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, and a combination of Looney, Post, TJD, who, by the way, didn't even play last night. He was a DNP, coach's decision.
I didn't even recognize that.
Trace Jackson Davis.
Oh, I didn't even recognize that.
I do want to see them go back to that bigger lineup that they started the season with, and they aborted mission very early, injuries, and try to tweak things, but I do believe Kuminga and Wiggins can play together. And I do believe having them on the perimeter defensively is going to cause teams hell. It will. But can you go to that lineup and have Wiggins play the two? He is hitting the three very well this year. Now, in the month of January, he's down to 32.5%, but he is averaging 19-5 in the month of January.
Yeah, he's been good.
Playing over 31 minutes a game. I mean, Andrew Wiggins has had a stellar season. But again, you get the loonies in the world who's always ready. By the way, Wiggins 38% from three this year. I just don't know, man. I just don't know what Mike Dunleavy's going to do here at the deadline. Well, I don't know what Joe Lincoln's going to do at the deadline. But, man, when we talk about moving some of these players, just remember their championship heart. Because it means something in that locker room. It means something with those players. And it means something when it comes to coaches' trust. Steve Kerr trust Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney, and Gary Payton II. No matter what we see on the floor, Steve Kerr trusts these guys. And time in and time out, they come through for Steve Kerr. So the championship heart was on full display last night at Chase Center.
That's really well said. I just think the problem is that like Looney and GP2, for example, they're role players, right? But on this team, I think that their impact has had to be, you know, it's just a bigger impact. You're asking these guys to do too much, and that's why I use the word miscast. Like, you know, GP2 on a winning team, you don't want him playing. I don't know what he ended up with last night.
He played 25 minutes last night.
He was excellent.
But Steve Kerr mentioned that he's, you know, usually, hey, man, he's going to play about 10 to 12 minutes. Steve Kerr wants him to start just to set a defensive tone. Now, he played 25 minutes last night. He's not going to play 25 every night. He's going to be between 10 and 15 minutes. He's been forced to because you've had 28 different starting lineups. 28 different starting lineups. You know, all last season, you had 27 different starting lineups. So you've already surpassed last year's total. Inconsistencies with the lineup. Injuries have had a big part to do with that. But if you could just stabilize your season, can you get greedy win Friday against Phoenix? Can you win on Monday against Orlando and all of a sudden go 6-3 during this critical 9-game stretch before hitting the road? Let's see what happens, folks. We got 8 games until the deadline. 8 games. It's coming rapidly.
Let's, on the other side, get into, you know, the Andrew Wiggins thing when it comes to just the trades and whatnot and why his name keeps popping up more than others. Because I think what you're saying, everyone is nodding their head and they agree with. The problem is that the other guy whose salary would match up in a lot of these deals, I don't think other teams want.
We'll get into that. That's all coming up. By the way, shout out to everybody on YouTube. So, hey, it's a victory. 888-957-9570. Come on, Dub Nation. Just don't call in with the losses. After a loss, call us when they win. They just beat the best team in the freaking NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you didn't think they could do it. Hell, I didn't think they could do it last night. They outscored OKC 68-51 in the second half to get this huge win. Now you get a day off. You welcome in Kevin Durant. The Phoenix Suns are a mess right now. Perfect opportunity to take advantage of that. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by Golden State. Serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. What's coming up? Your phone calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. Championship grit last night between some of the veterans. Warriors get the win. What's your big takeaway? That's going to come up. That's coming up. Brought to you by NB Jesse Painting.
Dub Nation, it's Guy Santos here. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Sasky on 957 The Game.
Guy Santos, 7 rebounds last night, 2 assists. Who's trying his hardest to chase around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? But I love his hustle. The perfect role player, Guy Santos, is having a good run here. Having a good run with the Golden State Warriors. 888-957-9570. We're going to get to the calls in just a second. Don't forget, 957 The Game's knockout tournament is back. The second annual knockout tournament here in 957 The Game. It'll be held at Chase Center Monday, March 3rd. Listen in at 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour for a chance to qualify. We'll give out a keyword sometime between 8 and 8:30 and between 8:30 and 9 o'clock when you hear the sounder, be the first to call in, and hopefully you can win a spot and a chance to shoot hoops at Chase Center. Bam, 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 bam. You know the sound. Bam, 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 bam. Bononi's on the phone. Bam, 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 bam. When you hear that, there he is. Bam, 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 bam.
Did Lennon fall into a hole somewhere? Is he okay?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happens on the show.
He's grinding.
He's grinding on the toilet?
Yeah, I was just
somewhere.
Damn, all that oatmeal he stuffed down his throat.
Bro, he's the only man I know who eats oatmeal with sausage bits Like,
yeah, it's too weird.
He's such a bizarre human being.
I'm out.
I love him, but God, he's so weird.
Let's go to Alex in Oakland. Alex, what's up?
Hey, what's up? What's up, fellas?
What's up, Alex?
What's up, dog?
You know, I got an observation that I've been seeing with whole season. Basically, when the Warriors play more players, they seem to win more. When they get away, when they try to get this, let's shrink the rotation down. It works sometimes, but they look better when they spread out the players and they spread out the minutes and everybody gets in there and do that thing, as you can see last night. Second thing I want to say is, far as the trade goes, based on what I've been seeing from this season, unless you're about to get Giannis or Kevin Durant, you don't need nobody. You just got to play the players that you got, but you got to spread them out like they did last night. Play everybody so you can run with the young team, and then at the same time, you can still have Steph do his thing. It got you 12-3, didn't it?
Early on, it did. There are some injuries, though. There are some injuries. But you want, it's fair. I'm not mad at you. You want to see, you like it when Steve Kerr goes 11 deep in the first quarter then, huh?
Yes, because what you do is, so what we're lacking right now, we got the one punch with Steph. We're lacking that other person that everybody is scared of. So we don't have Clay no more. So we're lacking that person who needs to step up. So what they're doing now is, one night is Moody that steps up. One night is Looney that steps up. One night it's whoever will step up and play that role and become. Look at Schroeder last night. Now you got to guard Schroeder. So all then right, you got to lag off split.
All right, Alex. I mean, right now Steve Kerr doesn't have a choice to play everybody, but ideally a coach wants to go 9-10 deep so he can set his rotation. Game in and game out. That's how you get the best out of your team, and that's how you start to build some good rhythm here.
Well, and guys
amongst
the
starters
know.
In your bench, they want to know when they want they're going to play.
Exactly. I mean, just think about it. If Joe Spadoni and you and me were all driving in, and I didn't know if I was doing the show, working the board, you know, producing or answering phones or whatever, like whatever it is, it's difficult to kind of lock in. I don't know what I'm being asked to do every single day, and so yeah, I think it's easier said than done. Last night, watching that game, and it's been a couple of games since the return. Whatever happened for Pajemski, and you've kind of referenced this, sitting on the bench, maybe it's watching, being healthy might be it. His confidence in the jumper is significantly better. It feels like he's not dribbling into traffic as often and picking up his dribble and then just pivoting to no man's land. I thought that his half court, you know, IQ and just his overall floor game has been so much better. I'm very encouraged that he can get back to being what I view him as. I don't know what the team views him as, but as that backup point guard that can at times run alongside Steph, at times run the offense when Steph's off the floor, which they had an opportunity last night to do. I think he's been really good, and I think that's a huge uptick for me just overall as I look at the Warriors, like, and I zoom out a little from this season, like, if Pods can keep playing better, like, he was awful for so long, and to see him play like kind of like the guy he did the last couple of years, that's been really encouraging. Really encouraging.
We had him on a post game show two days ago after the Utah Jazz game, and I asked him, did sitting for 12 games help you? Because it feels like the game has slowed down for him, but he's playing at a great pace. And the biggest thing I see from him is decisiveness.
Yes.
He's being very decisive, whether he's going to pass, whether he's going to shoot. He nailed a three yesterday right in front of, I think it was Hartenstein.
Yes.
Where he got switched out onto him, and he was decisive in the way he took the shot. And I said, if you're going to take shots like that, be decisive. And he's being decisive with his passing, the way he's pushing the pace, the way he's pushing the tempo. 11 points last night, 2-2 for the free throw line. And that's another thing, too. So I'm with you with Pods. Being injured, sometimes you just need to chill. Sit back for a second. Everything's moving fast. You're trying to build off a great rookie season. And you're making first-team all-rookie team. Joel Akins talking about you're going to be an all-star. Mm-hmm. And you put all that pressure on yourself. You put all that pressure on yourself to try to replace a legend like Klay Thompson. Can't do that.
Well, he's
you just got to be you.
Yeah.
Just be you. And right now, Pods is being Pods, which is a damn good player who connects offensively and defensively. I think he's in a nice rhythm right now. I really like where his game is at.
No, I'm with you. And watching last night's game, it just felt like to me the collective, the GP2, you know, I don't know, Looney didn't get a lot of rebounds, but he was busting against Hartenstein, and then other guys were coming in and getting rebounds.
Four block shots last night.
What did GP2 end up with?
Nine rebounds.
Okay, see, he was really good last night in terms of crashing the glass. At times, this team has kind of forgotten the little things about, hey, rebounding is a mindset. Rebounding is a collective, especially in the modern age where there's going to be a lot of big misses. You need your guards. You need everyone to kind of crash glass. And I thought yesterday they did a really good job of that. Pods had a shot clock. Late in the shot clock, there was somebody who switched out on them.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time again, that second unit has had horrific late in the shot clock execution. Either overpassing, passing up a shot with 6 seconds to settle for a worse one as the buzzer's expiring, whatever it is. Yesterday he was like, oh, he noticed. Shot clock's violated. Let me take a couple step backs.
Right.
Bang. And it wasn't a three. It was like a midi. To your point about being decisive, he seems to be in a much better space head-wise. And yeah, he looks so much better.
No, he's playing well. And by the way, Warriors over the last two games are hitting their free throws, 25-31 against the Utah Jazz, 23-28 last night. That means they're 48-59 the last two nights, just missing 11 free throws, an 82% night from the charity stripe of Kevon Looney, going to 8-9 for the free throw line. GP2 goes 5-5 for the free throw line. Steph goes 4-4. So the Warriors hit their free throws yesterday and beat the Thunder despite the Thunder had 18 more field goal attempts than the Warriors, 18 more field goal attempts and 10 more offensive rebounds. Let's be real. OKC missed some bunnies around the rim. They didn't take advantage of the second chance opportunity, so the Warriors were able to hang around, and they finally break through the fourth quarter. I thought a key point, too, was when Stephen Curry got subbed out in the fourth quarter, Warriors were up 94-93. They were able to extend their lead without Stephen Curry on the floor in the fourth quarter to a four-point game. So by the time he came back, Warriors were up four as opposed to one. And that was a key moment because, boy, if they lose the lead here, OKC can run away and steal this game. And yet, when Steph Curry went to the bench, the Warriors were able to stabilize the game and actually extend their one-point lead to four. Very impressive stretch there by the Schroeders, the Pods, the Andrew Wiggins, a company at Slow Mo as well, who played some solid defense last night.
Yeah, I thought that collectively they played a really good game yesterday against one of the best teams in the NBA. That's what they are, right? I mean, I don't know, record-wise, it's probably still Cleveland, but they're freaking awesome. Shea's so good.
You like Shea, huh?
He's just so good.
You like Shea.
He's just so good. The way he contorts his body in air, slows down. He's very deliberate with his pacing, yet he's extremely athletic. He's such an incredible 52. Shot maker with both hands around the rim. Obviously, he's going to get to the line. He's an excellent player. I know this is going to sound crazy, but I truly believe the reason that the mainstream media doesn't talk about him is because he doesn't play on one of the blue blood organizations. And that sucks. Like, if he just same exact output on the Knicks, which is so stupid to say, but I feel this way, on the Celtics, on the Lakers, that team and that player would be considered otherworldly.
You know, I would agree with that, but
I just think it's so weak.
I saw LeBron James play in Cleveland. We watched Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden play in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
We see teams with the Phoenix Suns who are not considered, even though they've been around for a long, long time, not considered one of the blue blood organizations. San Antonio's had a good run for so many years. Dirk, Michael Finley with the Dallas Mavericks. I think we got to stop looking at it like this. And NBA players can be stars anywhere. Anywhere. When Michael Jordan got drafted to the Bulls stuck. Even though they're in a big market, they stuck for so many years.
No, he is a star.
You know, he's a star.
No, I'm saying the way the league is covered, I feel that's what I'm saying.
It's strictly ESPN.
I think it's ridiculous.
Let's be real. That's strictly First Take and ESPN and everything, Get Up and everything like that. They basically run with all
the
stuff.
Yeah, but why doesn't TNT have more Oklahoma City
games? They do. They have a lot of Oklahoma City games.
Okay.
They're on national TV a lot.
I haven't seen them on Saturday night.
You look up OKC, how many national TV games they have? Because they're on a lot.
There's just a dismissal of that brand, I think, in general, that's so unfair. And look, your point about LeBron, I just think LeBron was so unique because they built an entire coverage around LeBron. Like, Windhorse was covering him every single day, no matter where he was. He was unique. But like, Jokic is, I think Jokic similarly doesn't get the just due. Jokic's about to win Is he going to be a 4 or 5-time MVP?
He might. He might. We're going to go to Jack in the city. Hang tight, Jack, because I want to get to your call. You bring up something very, very important. We get to Gene, Oscar as well. All that coming up as we talk about a big-time Dubs win. Man, what a win. What a win. 24-23 now. They get a day off. They welcome in the Phoenix Suns. Is that a turn-the-corner game for the Golden State Warriors? Saw a lot of championship grit from some of the championship players in GP2, Kevon Looney, and, of course, Andrew Wiggins. Steph Curry scores his 17 of his 21 in the second half. Got a stat on Steph because he was really struggling. Then he woke up in the second half. But all in all, a very good win for the Golden State Warriors. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll talk more about SGA and his big-time win for the Golden State Warriors. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
.106-.103 Inside 2 minutes. Steve Kerr gets a play call in. Curry off a screen by Schroeder. Takes a deep three. Good! Doubles the Warrior advantage just like that. Curry's got 21.
Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
Going into the third quarter of that game last night, Stephen Curry in the previous four quarters was 1 of 15 from the floor, 0 for 6 from 3, 6 points. Actually, excuse me, 4 points because he was scoreless in the second half Saturday night against the LA Lakers. And he had 4 in the first half, and he was really struggling. Lou Dort was all over him. He's trying to gain separation. Can't gain separation. His team is so damn long and athletic and so quick and athletic. I'm like, wow, look at Oklahoma City. Look at his defense. They recover so well. Even when you pump fake these jokers, you pump fake them, they jump in the air, and they still recover for a block shot. Like, damn, this is the team who has next? All right, good luck, NBA. But Stephen Curry, fighting through it. He busts out for 8 in the third quarter. He ends up hitting the dagger 3 in the fourth quarter. And you see him grinding. And what I liked about his game last night, Shasky, early in the shot clock, if he had a one-on-one situation, it's like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to take the shot because I may not get a better opportunity within the shot clock or within his possession. So I like the way he fought last night, scored 17 with his 21. He was grinding last night, grinding hard to try to get a win. And damn it, he got one. 17-21 yesterday from the chef.
Yeah, I thought that, the third quarter when everything was going a little well for the Warriors, it was like waiting for that Steph Curry explosion, and then hit a couple of threes in the fourth quarter, and it's like, all right, here we go. There is just something calming when he knocks down a couple threes mm-hmm. and just kind of like balances the floor for everyone. They need that bad. I mean, even look at this is going to sound crazy. Buddy hit a three early in the third quarter. And I felt like that forced Oklahoma City to actually close out on him.
Yeah.
And then they had a couple of really nice passes, Buddy did, shockingly, to Kevon Looney in the paint. And I thought that that kind of swung momentum in the game and closed the gap. So I know all the Steph stuff, but like if other guys can just hit a little on the outside, it opens the floor up for everyone.
2 of 6 last night, Buddy Hill, 15 minutes and 15 seconds to 5 points in the third quarter. No, but those were a big 5 points in the third quarter, and he did have 4 assists. So you got to impact
the game.
Yeah, you got to impact the game in different ways. He had 5 rebounds, but again, Steve Kerr only played him 15 minutes and 15 seconds. So Steve Kerr's not going to give a lot of Quentin Post. Everybody wanted Quentin Post. He played 8 minutes and 8 seconds yesterday. And I saw people bitching and moaning about that. Look, OKC was ready to run him out the gym.
Well, Jaylen, the minute he put the ball on the floor, they had a point guard on him who was defending him really hard.
Right. Steve Kerr said it.
Idea.
Wings are going to start guarding Quentin Post because he's a three-point shooter right now in the game. But he's not going down to the post, and that's great scouting by the other team.
Exactly. And that's where he needs to make the adjustment, and Steve needs to make the adjustment. I don't know where his back-to-the-basket game is, but when you have the size advantage, get down on the block, big man.
But again, patience.
No doubt.
This guy just came up. This guy's just not going to be a superstar. Everybody's been calling about Quentin Post, and he's a nice young man. But you know,
just be a role player.
People were still mad about him getting 8 minutes last night. He's like, are you trying to win the game? And what are you watching? What are you watching? Let's go to Jack in the city. Jack's been on hold for a while. Jack, I know you got a great take here. Good morning to you, Jack.
How you doing, guys? Good morning as well. Thanks for having me on. Great win last night. It's crazy to me how inconsistent this team is, though. Hopefully they can become more consistent as the year goes on. But I wanted to ask you guys your take and whether or not you think the Warriors are better off without Draymond. I mean, I think if you can, obviously I don't know if this trade works out, but if you can swap him out for a guy like Vucevic who can be a big man on the defensive end of the floor, space the floor on offense, and play Kuminga at the four, Wiggins at the three, you know, Moody at the two, and give, you know, Steph and all the boys some room to operate down low and just have the spacing be a little better. You know, Draymond is just so, you know, sometimes he hits threes, but he's just so inconsistent on the offensive end, and the spacing is not great with him and Kuminga on the floor. So I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on that. Thanks.
I would ask you before you hang up, like, doesn't it feel like we've been avoiding this topic for multiple years just as a fan base? It's Kuminga or Draymond. We've got to make a decision. If you're going to roll with Draymond, then probably Kuminga's not going to be able to flourish to his fullest potential or whatever you want that to be. Like, it's one or the other. I don't see them, you know, unless Draymond has a quote-unquote change of his role and he becomes a role guy as opposed to a pillar guy, because now he's a pillar guy. I think it's going to be really difficult to get Steve Kerr to come off of Draymond being viewed as a pillar guy. And I get it. He's won a lot of championships with them. He's one of their all-time most important players to his coaching legacy. But they have to make a decision. And you got an extension for Kuminga coming up. And so to me, I don't think they can coexist. I understand there are certain lineups where they'll be able to overlap. I'm talking big picture. They've got to plant their flag in one direction or the other. You were talking about Andrew Wiggins, Bonte. And it's a great point. I think if I polled a lot of Warrior fans, I think the bulk of them would say, I would do what I can to keep Wiggins. And Draymond would be the one that I would package in a deal to get something back. But I also think we're smart enough to realize Wiggins is the more desirable piece league-wide, and most teams probably don't want Draymond. So we keep reverting back to putting Wiggins into the trade cycle when it should probably be Draymond, but we also know that that feels unrealistic.
Well,
and that would signal from the organization a big change in philosophy.
Well, I've been fighting back the Wiggins situation because you need those type of players in today's NBA. So I've been fighting back on that because I don't know what the package you get for Andrew Wiggins, and I just don't want to trade him. I think he's a good dude. This locker room loves him. The guys are smiling left and right. No, Lord knows what the hell he went through the last 2 years with his father being sick. That weighed a lot on him. He's got a tight-knit family. You don't ever hear Andrew Wiggins going out. Whenever he's on a road trip, from what I hear, he goes in his room, plays video games, wears the same sweatsuit all the damn time. He doesn't want to be out and about. He's chilling. He's got his family. He's got his fiance. He's got his daughters. He doesn't want to, you know, he's low maintenance. And in the league full of egos and high-maintenance guys, having a guy who is low-maintenance is a godsend for your basketball team. No ego whatsoever. You don't have to worry about Andrew Wiggins. So I don't want to trade him at all. I really don't. When it comes to Draymond Green, are they better without Draymond Green? It's hard to say because Draymond Green does so much for this team, right? But I'm just looking at the numbers here. And just from a basketball standpoint, since the Warriors started 12-3, since they started 12-3, Draymond Green has played 19 games from that point. After starting 12-3, he's played 19 games from that point.
Okay.
27.5 minutes, just 29.5% from the 3-point line. 8 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. And he's shooting 39% from the floor. So offensively, you're not getting the efficient numbers from Draymond Green. Defensively, I think there's been a little bit of a slippage, and maybe that's due to injuries or whatnot, but he's also shooting just 58% from the free throw line. So on this team that is struggling offensively, you need to find some offense. And that's where Draymond Green, where I harp on the last few years, is you got to be more aggressive offensively. And if the shot's not rolling early, then you still have to be aggressive because within the context of the offense, you kill spacing. When you pass up a great shot and try to go from great to good, sometimes you go great to poor, you know, because the shot that you have available is the best shot you're going to get within that possession. So when we're talking about just basketball right now, since the Warriors started 12-3, there's no doubt Andrew Wiggins has been the better player for this team and the more important player. So what do you do with Draymond Green when he comes back? There may be a reserve role. There may be a role in which he plays 25 minutes. I have no idea. But from a basketball standpoint, and the way you open up the floor and space the floor, Andrew Wiggins right now, to me, is the more important player for this basketball team.
We've been begging him to shoot more or be more aggressive or square up to the hoop for many years. I have a hard time thinking that 34 years old, he's going to change, you know.
Well, he was aggressive early on, and he needs to continue that. Steph has talked about it. Kerr's talked about it ad nauseum here. And if he can't, then I don't know.
Look,
I don't know what you do.
I think most NBA fans, forget Warrior fans, like Wiggins or Draymond, who are you banking on the next couple of years? Like, most are going to bank on Wiggs.
I don't know if they are. And I don't know if you could say that with full confidence a month ago, 6 weeks ago.
In the NBA?
Yeah. NBA fans?
I don't know.
Well, maybe I'm just in the Warriors bubble because I know how Warrior fans have talked about Andrew Wiggins. They talk about Andrew Wiggins like he's just a bum. I'm just laughing like, what? I see the same fan, but I'm not gonna go there. But I don't know, man. I don't know what the fans think half the time, to be honest with you. I'm lost when it comes to that stuff. I get lost.
I don't know what they appreciate.
I don't know what they don't appreciate anymore. It's a day-to-day operation. When it comes to the fan base.
The way I look at this is pretty clear. I think everybody always looks at it pretty straightforward. And the straightforward thing is, hey, a wing player like Wiggins, we like him. We like him a lot. And nobody wants to get rid of anything. They want to get something for nothing. But if you have to, most people are saying, yeah, Wiggins is the guy that you're putting into the trade machine because we realize that Draymond's not as desirable as Wiggins on the open market. That's why I'm coming back to, I think, majority of NBA people would say that Wiggins is the guy they're banking on over the next couple of years.
Let's go to Oscar in Stockton. We get to Corey and Uncle Gene, of course. Oscar, what's up, man?
Man, you guys, you know what? You have my spirits going good all morning, Bonte. What you were saying, we got to embrace our champions more. And we was talking about the Warriors. I do not want to talk about Draymond Green. I was just telling my wife, watch this day. We don't have to talk about Draymond. Let's talk about what was on the floor and winning. That's what I want to talk about. Well, I want to talk about the way Kevon Looney was out there.